Rob was not aware of what the intro music was going to be, and he cannot handle some fucking Reverend Al Green.
It's not I didn't want to handle. I don't want to interrupt it. It's like, why do we got to interrupt this beautiful music?
Yeah, the show's definitely going downhill from here.
We should just do that. Just do it. Just play our music. From
it's called The Clown in the Shadows iPod.
There we go. That's like, wow, this is really good. The funny thing is, we'd probably get way more listens to. It's like, finally, a crappy audio boo that someone just plays good music.
Just really good music that most people don't know about.
Yeah. But... so sad. It's not. It's the clown. It's me, Rob Weissman, and my buddy, the Shadow here. Nameless man.
Nameless. I do have a face, though.
Well.
But not a name.
You can't see my face. They can't see it.
So I guess I'm a faceless.
You could say your name right now. You can't face them with the audio boo, with the podcast, but no. You can throw your name at them right
it's
now.
It's not going to happen ever.
God, see, I tried.
So mysterious.
I tried, guys. I don't think we're ever going to be able to know what this guy is. Oh, man. So, here we are, and the theme of this one is, I don't really have a theme going, but I do have a, you don't like.
You've got a notebook packed full of notes, and you have no theme in there.
Well, I was going to put, well, we already did the identity thing. These are the notes that we never got to when I was talking about.
We just did one on identity, and it was amazing. It's the best one we've ever done, and Rob refuses to put it up there. He's withholding it from you guys, so maybe he'll put it up, maybe he won't.
How do you know
that? It might be up right now.
They
might have just listened to it.
They might have, because I'm...
In the weird time-space continuum of podcast land.
There is no time in podcast land. Maybe I'll release this in, like, 3 years, and it'll be this entirely, and it'll be, like, just a little time capsule for our voices for 3 years, and then we'll release this one.
Don't do that.
Yeah. I don't see what the utility would be in that either.
Yeah. Maybe we've used all our good ideas on this first amazing podcast we just did.
Good
about,
ideas. People like,
we talked about Tom Cruise mostly, but anyways.
Those are your good ideas. Maybe the best idea would be you guys put it down. Whoa.
All right, notebook, break it out.
I've got the heckler in my head.
Heckled us. Why are you heckling our own podcast?
I've got the head heckler, like alive. He's up there kicking. I don't know. I was going to talk about like how it's hard to say. I guess these are little notes on identity, and for some reason I started writing about like how there's people that like a lot of times it's hard for people to admit they like.
Okay.
Like I have Fred Durst here.
Fred Durst?
Yeah, Fred Durst. Durst? Durst?
I think it's Fred Durst.
I'm not a fan. I just like him.
Well,
this is the thing. This
okay,
is what,
okay,
this
I like where you're going with
this.
This
is
okay.
What happened.
Let's hear it.
Well, I was...
Because I got one, too, that I want to tell you.
Well, there's one time I was sitting there. I got a movie. The movie was called The Education of Charlie Banks. And it's stars Jesse... is it Einsberg? Is that...
Eisenberg, right?
Eisenberg, yeah. The Facebook... He's actually... I've never seen him
put out a bad... Zombieland, too, right?
Yeah, I've never seen him put out a bad movie. I know he's been in some, like, bad...
For a while, I thought he was just a poor man's Michael Cera.
No, Michael Cera's the poor man's Jesse.
No, because Michael Cera was around first and was strong for a long time.
He was
They're
in
both
the
good.
Arrested Development.
They're both good.
Yeah, dude, this kid... No, he's in, like, the Holy Rollers. He was the first time ever Jesse Eisenberg was in a movie called... Roger Dodger, which he's with Michael, with Campbell Scott, Scott Campbell. It's George C. Scott's son, the guy who stars in. This is all.
I'm just waiting to see how many degrees away
many
from
degrees?
Fred Durst can you get before you.
Okay. I'm beating around the bush. I don't want to talk about how much I love Fred Durst. It's hard. It's not that
Tell your story about love.
Well,
Fred
I just
Durst.
Went and I saw this movie that's called The Education of Charlie Banks, and it was good. It's about Jesse Eisenberg or whatever his name is in prep school, and then there's like it's a prep school movie kind of. It also stars the girl in it as Susan Sarandon's daughter, who's kind of hot in it.
Okay.
And about this guy that's from like the bad side of the wrong side of the tracks that ends up hanging out with friends of his that are kind of a little scared of him in a prep school, and then like he like goes out with Susan Sarandon's daughter is the hot girl, but then he's a little too street and hood for them. But And it was also done in, like, I think they were supposed to be in the 80s. It's not, like, a modern, even though it was made just, like, 2 or 3 years ago. But, you know, this movie was, like, a period piece, I guess.
It's good because it has all the themes from 80s movies, too.
No, but it's not. It's kind of an independent, it's an independent movie, and it's good, and it's got heart, and it's a good movie, and I couldn't, and at the end they go, who directed it? And they go, Fred Durst. And I'm like, no. Like, no, Fred Durst isn't doing a private school movie. Like, are you kidding me? The Limp Bizkit did it all for the Dookie, and when I punched him in the face. I'm like, there's...
Because you're saying Fred Durst, maybe there's a Fred Durst, and Fred Durst...
Fred Durst? I'm Fred Durst, yeah...
I don't know. Maybe it's a German name.
No,
the same Fred Durst from Limp Bizkit.
I watched the red extra Yankees hat. I saw it on a DVD.
Yeah.
And the extra features, and there's Fred Durst sitting there talking intelligently about directing a movie.
Say his name one more time.
No, Fred Durst.
Thank you.
Yeah, pronouncing things isn't a strong point. What do I want to do? Talk for a living. Amazing.
How's that working for you so far?
Ideas that I'm conveying. You got to go on the idea. You got to jump aboard the ideas here. Use your imagination talking for me, because I'm not going to be a great orator of those.
It's like your B-minus papers in college,
just,
Rob.
It just makes sense. Yeah, I would do these college papers, and I was telling the shadow here that I would do these, have these papers that I would write in college, and then they'd be like, here's your grade. I get a C-. Here's your grade without grammatical errors. A-. I'm like, wow. I do grammatical errors in even when I speak. So
yeah.
I just have these ideas that I got to quickly get out of my face. And words be damned if I say them right. Those ideas are coming out because they're more powerful.
They might not be able to be understood, but they're coming out somehow. They might be jumbled up and make no sense.
I'm like an architect with words, and the structures that I build are too grandiose for the words to actually support the architecture of ideas that I have, so they fall on its own weight.
Just crushing innocent bystanders that come down.
Okay, see, and even now, there are too many coming at a time. I got to go back to the Fred Durst. It was him. He was talking intelligently. And I'm like, wow, okay. And I started, you think about myself. It's like, you know, I'm a lot of different people to a lot of different people. We've already talked about that.
Yeah.
And, like, yeah, Fred Durst, I'm sure, you know, he's got a heart, a soul. Even though you watch him in those late 80s and he just looked like the worst jerky.
Late 90s.
Whatever. Yeah, did I say 80s? Yeah, I meant 90s. Yeah. 90s or 2000s or, you know, he just seemed like, oh, God, this guy is just like everything that's wrong in the world. And then you watch that, like, wow. Fast forward maybe a year or two ago, I'm at the Laugh Factory, and it's Fred Durst's night. He's hosting.
Really?
He wasn't really hosting. He was just there, and they kept to call it Fred Durst's night. Like I think he jumped on the microphone maybe once.
Okay.
He didn't do any jokes or anything. He was just kind of like, okay. But then you know what he did? He bought everybody a beer that was there. Like, everyone got a free beer out of his that he bought, like, personally, that he had to pay for. But he still bought.
So he was a good guy.
I'm like, God, that's a really nice gesture.
Yeah.
Damn it. And this is
after the movie?
This is after the movie. And I was telling my buddy, it's like, I knew he kind of was a good guy because I saw this movie that was real good. I'm telling you, there's something about him. He's okay somewhere. Some part of him is a good person. But then you know what else I heard? From a friend that said that, I told him that Fred Durst bought me a beer and everybody at the Laugh Factory one night, and he goes, you know what? He bought me a hot dog when I was a kid. I'm like, what? I'm like, no! He's like, yeah, man, it was before they were famous. I was at like some concert, and I knew he was in a band or whatever, and it was like me and a couple friends, and then like we were like, didn't have any money or something, so he went and he just got us all hot dogs. And I'm like, that's it! I'm done! I like Fred Durst! I stand with him. I stand with Fred. When no one stands with Fred, if Fred ever needs like help on the side of the road, pull a car and go, hey, man, not a really big fan of Limp Bizkit or you're there, but I believe in you. Terrible choice for a band name. Like the worst, like Smashing Pumpkins, they talk about how they hate their name. It's like, yeah,
well,
at least you didn't name it Limp Bizkit about the game of, I guess maybe it is like He should be doing movies about those schools for boys or whatever, because it's like the Limp Bizkit game, isn't that where they put biscuit in the middle and everyone you've heard this before?
I've never heard it called Limp Bizkit.
That's what I thought it was, right? Or that's soggy biscuit.
Yeah, that's soggy biscuit.
Well, Limp Bizkit sounds like it more
or Okie Cookie.
Ugh, see, I've never heard that. Ugh.
But you're the one that took Limp Bizkit and automatically assumed
because it was, Limp Bizkit. when I hear the word limp, I think of dick. And when I hear Bizkit,
that's your own problem, my friend.
Limp. What? When you hear limp, you don't think like a little limp. Maybe. When you limp on your leg, yeah. Don't make me feel bad for that. Come on, it's just.
I'm gonna look up why Limp Bizkit is called Limp Bizkit because
Limp Bizkit. That still sounds, doesn't it? That's what I literally have until this moment. I have always thought that it was that stupid game where I thought it was that game where. Okay, here's the game. It's like these. I imagine people have played this game. Should I explain the game, or is it too disgusting for me to explain the game to the fragile listener base that we have?
Yeah, they're probably not that fragile if they listen to us. But they also probably totally know what you're talking
about.
Yeah,
you put the biscuit in the middle of a bunch of guys, and then they jerk off. And then the last one to finish has to eat the biscuit that's in the middle. Ha ha. Gameplay. And I Limp Bizkit. I guess I never thought... I guess, yeah, Soggy Biscuit. It wasn't Limp Bizkit. I thought that's what they're called. But anyway. So yeah, whatever. I don't care. I don't care if he's played Limp Bizkit because people make mistakes. People do terrible things. I'll stand with Fred Durst. It's hard to say yes to things. The whole point of this is what I was going to say is, it's really easy in life to say no, because if you say no to something, or say no to say like if say said to not be a friend of somebody or say no, I don't like that. It means you're separate from it. And you can say no.
You're not vulnerable. You're taking a safe course.
But if you say yes, like if I'll be your friend to somebody that maybe somebody isn't so popular, that's a hard thing to do because now you have a vested interest in what they do now too. It makes you, you've
exposed yourself a little bit
by saying yes, by liking something, and it's kind of screwed up.
Yeah, you're protecting yourself by saying that sucks. That's stupid. I hate that.
Yeah.
If you go around saying, this is sweet, this is cool, I love this, and people
then
have...
you're like...
And you're opening yourself up to criticism.
But it's way more courageous. Like, you to say, like, yeah, I like Madonna. Like, I remember one day I decided I like Madonna. It took me when I was, like, 18 years old. I would forever be like, no. But then I heard, like, when I was working on a dock in Lake Erie on a boat, like, there's this guy in this huge houseboat next to me. And he had real big fat guy, and he had his hot secretary, quote, secretary, that wasn't his wife. And they would hang out, and they would just blast Madonna. And I found myself really enjoying the songs that come out. And I'm like,
okay.
Yeah, why not? I like Madonna. Sure.
All right.
And by saying
courageous move.
I think, because a lot of times you're like, you know, when you hear people just rail against people a lot of times, it can be kind of funny or whatever, but it's also...
It's easier to make fun of things than to open up to them.
It's easier on your heart. Like, if you make fun of them in a good way, where it's like, I have friends that could just probably go against Madonna. Like, I even make fun of Madonna a little in my comedy. When I say she's an evil witch that's trying to suck the soul out of youth culture. And why does she do it? Because the mirror tells her to. I'm not as pretty as I used to be. And so she'll latch on to whatever's young, whoever's the fairest of the land now. And then it's kind of funny. But I still, you know, Papa Don't Preach, that's a jam right there.
Yeah, but I don't know. When you... I know what you're saying, but as you know, I love to hate things.
Yeah.
I love to make fun of things and slam things. And if you just go around saying everything's awesome, then awesome no longer means anything. If whatever comes on the radio, like, yeah, this is great, then you could listen to white noise. Crap comes on the radio, you're happy with.
Everything has good and bad qualities. Even things that are like, have the
best. No, some things are just terrible, and some things are near perfect.
Example.
Near perfect, the Beatles. For music, since we're talking about music.
Early Beatles was kind of lame. That I want to hold
I said
hand.
Near perfect.
I want to, like, I mean, they okay, still... Okay,
Led Zeppelin.
There's a lot
near
of
perfect,
songs.
Led Zeppelin. Near perfect, Pink Floyd.
Led Zeppelin, they stole a lot of their music, man, didn't they? They had a lot of that was just blues from, like a lot of their riffs were kind of ripped off. I'm not saying, I'm not agreeing, I'm playing devil's advocate now. Because, I love the Beatles. I like Led Zeppelin. Yeah. Pink Floyd, that's pretty, I mean, it's
yeah,
pretty good.
You're stumped.
I like
Floyd.
Pink Floyd's
yeah.
good. Pink Floyd's
near,
good.
Near perfect.
Well, it's like, you know, there's times you don't want to necessarily hear some Pink
that's
Floyd.
That's not a knock on them, though.
Yeah, but it's just that's times, your problem. That's not their problem. No, I don't know. It's not all the time that I want to be like, man, right now some Pink Floyd really helped us out a lot. Like, you know, like there's some times that Pink Floyd, I don't know. It's what I'm saying is like there's things that are more complex than just love, hate. A lot of times, or that's cool, that's bad.
That's true.
And then to stand...
But there are many things that are fully and deserving of love and fully deserving of hate.
There's things that... Yeah.
Justin Bieber is fully deserving of hate.
Yeah.
Okay. And the Beatles...
For what he stands for culturally, yes. I'm sure at some point the kid himself might be okay at times, though I hear he's a total brat. Like, I hear he's just, like...
He's a crazy person.
He's terrible to be around. Like, it's just probably painful. Yeah. It's probably, if he was in this room right now, it would be painful, I can imagine. Or, but then again, I don't know. Maybe, I've seen him...
Well, you know what? He's not welcome on our podcast. We'll never find out. Fuck that guy.
Oh, are you kidding me? Justin Bieber on our podcast? You want to have 100 million listens to this thing?
Not his fans, no.
No, his fans.
They're all retarded 12-year-old
girls. How many do you think we'd retain of that? Like, of the 100 million... None. It'd ruin this. It would be like
it would probably the people that actually do like this would go away forever.
To the dozens, the literally dozens of people that we have that listen to this.
Yes.
He
would destroy us.
He would destroy the dozens of people that like the one podcast that we have 150 million listens to. And then it goes down. And then it goes down to two. It goes me and you. It's like it's weird. It's just me. It's like, well, we got
listen to it.
We got
listen to
it. Oh shit! I thought, oh man, I thought we had a listener. Fucking Justin Bieber.
Even your mom's not listening anymore after that.
No, that's one thing we have, man. We have street cred. We are indie as hell. We are underground. Yeah. We are indie. They don't even know who you are. You don't even want to be.
Yeah, so indie. I don't have a fucking personality.
You are only personality.
I don't have.
You are.
I'm independent of an identity.
You're independent of identity. You're formless. For all they know, you are just a voice that I'm making, and I'm by myself.
But how is it possible we're both?
I'm
talking at the while you're laughing.
I'm that good.
Yeah.
I'm doing it on purpose.
Yes.
I'm doing it on purpose.
Totally.
I'm trying to do it.
I'm very good.
See how good of a juggler I am? I'm so good. I'm so good.
What's really weird is the puppet that you have on your hand right now making this voice. Nobody can see the puppet. You know that, right? It's just for your own.
If you were totally insane, which one? Maybe you're the puppet. The real person is you that's the puppet. And the face... Okay, that's stupid.
Yeah, you lost it.
It's like a Twilight Zone. That's really who he is. The puppet goes, and then the body goes limp and dies. And
I could see that. That's actually.
That's like on the cutting room.
You know what? That's got some good things and some bad things to it. There's some things to love, and there's some things to hate.
Yeah, okay. Oh, good one. I'm glad you learned something.
Yeah, yeah. It's not Justin Bieber, but it's definitely not the Beatles either.
Yeah, it's... What about Def Leppard? Def Leppard. For some reason, I thought...
What?
Is there all hatred there, or is there something good about
them? Def Leppard.
Like hair metal and all that stuff.
I definitely had some of that on cassette tape when I was really young.
See, I think it's like, it's corny. It's stuff I wouldn't want to listen all the time, but I'll listen... Like, I have it on my iPod.
Really?
I have like Love Bites. I don't have Pour Some Sugar on Me. I have a couple of the...
That was their best one, I think.
Some Love Bites.
It's okay.
And Rocket.
It's
that's
pretty lame, but it's also entertaining.
All this is all just a matter of taste. Some people just swear by Justin Bieber.
I think some is taste, but also there are certain things that have intrinsic value. There is, I don't know, if there is a God, he can look at something with his infinite God-like wisdom and say, on a scale of 1 to 10, Justin Bieber is a 2 and Led Zeppelin is a 9.5.
To you, I can I'm playing devil's advocate to your God in this. I could see what girls see in Justin Bieber, like the teenage girls, like them, like singing, like that.
Yeah,
I see that persona.
Yeah, I see.
I don't
it, I
like
see
it,
it. Too.
I don't
it
like
mean
it.
Good.
Like, when I was a kid, I remember we all were going to this party where there were girls at, and me and my buddies.
Wait, when was this?
When I was like 11 years old, so it's a big deal.
Pretty big deal back then.
Oh man, huge. But then these girls had the audacity, and this is going to
audacity, but yes.
Sure, they had both dacities. They had dacities coming out of all kinds of places this day. And it was because and this is going to date me, they wanted to play nothing but New Kids on the Block. So me and a couple other
fucking godfathers.
Me and a couple other cool guys got in our BMX bikes and skateboards and were like, we're out of here if you guys are going to keep on playing this crappy music.
You really showed them.
No, we came back quickly.
He never should have left, honestly. Total bluff.
Absolute bluff. But, yeah, like, at that point, that's when you really, I think, when you're that age, I guess you're really, like, into, like, this is what I like. I'm a boy, and I don't like that. I like this. And, you know, you like...
hair metal.
Then? No, I think then became was more like, we were listening, geez, we were listening to 12 NWA, Too Short, Two Live Crew. Like, a lot, any rap that sweared.
Yeah.
That had a lot of swear words in it.
Yep. I think your street cred just went up a little bit, Rob.
Yeah, back then. But now, as I get older, I look, and when I hear these songs, like the New Kids on the Block, I'm like, please don't go, girl, and Hanging Tough, it gives me a smile, because I can't stop thinking about that time, which was a good time. And so it's not like I would sit there and like listen, like drive around listening to Hanging Tough, but it was on
a lot.
It will forever remind me of the skating rink where all the kids hung out, where I came from. We had a skating rink. It seems like I thought I would be the only one with a skating rink.
No, I definitely had a skating rink.
Everyone had a skating rink.
Yeah.
And it was like the cool spot. Do kids still do that?
I don't think so. I'm almost positive they don't.
I know, like, the adults have parties at skating rinks, like, you know, in their 20s.
Ironic parties.
Yeah, like, we're going to really... It was, this, like, I've gotten old now. It was the 70s skating rink parties that merged into the 80s. Now they all dress up as 80s and skate around and listen to 80s, and everyone gets drunk.
Yeah.
And, like, you know...
It's like kickball leagues.
Yeah. So
it's
like,
ironic because it reminds you of your childhood.
But do the kids... I mean, there's not one around here. Like, there's no skating...
I don't think they do.
Oh, man. That was such a... This is just a golden thing.
I guess. It was something to do.
Oh, well, but now, I actually enjoy it now. They have alcohol in a skating rink and a lot of
hot girls. But now you need alcohol.
A lot of hot girls in their little cutoff shorts acting like it's 1988. Oh, it's perfect. Great. Yeah. And then boozed up. Awesome. Yeah, those are great times. But not the magic nostalgia times of... whenever, 89 or 90 or 91 or whatever it was.
You were a child and the whole world was in front of you.
Yeah, when things still, when hope existed and this big bright sun and everything was going to work out. Now nothing's worked out. I'm talking into my phone to a couple dozen people. Great.
Pretty uplifting.
No. But, I don't know. So, we've gone for Fred Durst skating rinks.
It's definitely gone several different places.
It's gone, well, you know, we're talking about standing up for things that maybe don't have a voice, that how it's hard to stand up for these things.
I don't think Fred Durst and skating rinks needs your defense, but okay.
Fred Durst to some might. I don't think, yeah, of course. Anyway, if somebody needs my defense at this point, then they're pretty low.
Fall a little ways.
Then they're number one, you know, they really need help. You know, they don't have like food or shelter or anything, and I can just help them out. Yeah,
you're only able to help homeless people.
Yeah,
at this
pretty
point.
Pretty much. Like, yeah, you know, I can do all in my power to help you, so I will give you a ride to the bus station. And that's all I have, because that's my power right now, is that I can drive my car for you to the bus station. Anyway, oh God, I have a weird story. I don't know if I should tell about the bus station.
Speaking of, go ahead, tell us a story about a bus station.
I one time was going to go downtown LA to skateboard with a buddy of mine, Yusuke, who may be listening to this. And another friend of mine, Erland Spike, or AKA Vincent Skells, he has three names. He actually has a lot of names.
Wow,
this guy.
Okay.
Yeah, he's a good guy. He probably is listening to this. I used to hang out at this vintage clothing company a lot, and they both worked there. And there's this weird guy that was there all day, and my buddy Erland is like, hey, Rob, can you give this guy a ride to the bus station? He's like, man, I need a ride to the bus station, man. I go, why, man? What's your story? He's like, I'm going to be the first legal gigolo, and I need to get to the bus station so he could go to Las Vegas, where the first legal male gigolo job was waiting for him. And he's like telling me, he's like, man, and it was weird because I had a videotape of this guy for a while, and I lost, like, the camera got stolen or something, which really sucks because it was funny. He's like, man, I'm just gonna go out, and he was like kind of smelled, and he kind of like he said he was in porn for a while, but it didn't work out, and now he's gonna go.
Wow.
He's gonna go be the first legal gigolo, and I was giving him a ride of the bus. So I give him, I drop him off, I give him like $20 too. From his story, I'm like, here you go, go live your dream.
Yeah.
The next week, on Stephen Colbert's show, you know how they have the alpha dog of the week?
Yeah, yeah.
He was the alpha dog of the week.
You're
because
insane.
He did go to Las Vegas. He made it there on time. The bus got him there in the right amount of time, so he could become the first legal male gigolo in the
There's
United
no
States.
No fucking way.
It's total fucking way.
Dude, what kind of life do
and
you live?
And I gave him that. Yes.
Fuck you.
I made that possible. If I never gave him that ride to the bus station,
fuck
he would have never gotten there. We would be without the first... The alpha dog would never exist. Think of that. The butterfly effect that would go through. It'd be terrible. Who knows?
Sometimes I think I've had a pretty interesting life, and you're getting beers from fucking Fred Durst, and you're helping the future Colbert alpha dog of the week...
First male gigolo.
Achieve his dream.
This
of
guy was disgusting.
Sex
too.
Working.
Yeah, it's like.
And here guy, I am just doing my thing in the shadows. It's bullshit.
The shadow, man. I know. Come out into the light sometime.
This might be the first time in 19 years of knowing you that I've been legitimately jealous of you.
Stop it.
As a human being.
Oh, God. I've been nervous to tell that story to people because they've been
What's this guy's name? I want to look this shit up.
I forgot. You can look up Stephen Colbert, Alpha Dog of the Week, and then put like male gigolo, and we can do that. I bet you I could find it on YouTube, and if you go to Audioboo and go to this page, I'll put links up so you can look at him. He's a real winner, this guy. Like I remember he wore glasses and he had like this buzz. He kind of looked like he had something wrong with his face. Kind of. He was gross, but you could see he had muscles. He was like jacked. He was a little jacked. You could tell there was something a little, he was off. I remember him having kind of
Was he like homeless ripped?
He looked methy. He looked
methy.
Like a guy that's traveling around trying to make a living as a male sex worker, but not like.
Yeah.
Not like.
Like he's cut because he's got 2% body fat.
He's cut from living on the streets. When you look at these bums sometimes, and they're like, "Man, that guy is tan. And that guy is ripped. That guy has golden hair, hair, and looks like Jesus." Shave him up. He looked like a supermodel. Christ, but yeah, he wasn't like that. He didn't look that good. He wasn't like the best looking homeless person, but he was little bit ripped. He didn't look totally homeless. You could just tell that there's something. He looked a little like. Methy, a little like from the middle of America, kind of like.
Been on the road for a while.
Been on the road for a while, but he was still young enough to have a lot of hope.
So he was like 30?
No, he was in his 20s.
Really?
I think. I didn't get his full life story. But he was very confident.
You got a lot of his life story, apparently.
Well, he was very. I got what he was going. Well, I got a big. That part of it, where he was very confident that he was going to be making so much money doing this because he was going to be the only one. It was like at the Bunny Ranch or somewhere like that's already established, like a cat house. That he was going to do that, but I don't know. I don't remember his name. I'll definitely look for a link to go throw that up. But that happened.
Yeah,
I wish there was more to tell on it. But he said he was going to...
And you're going to take a stand and say you like that.
He was going to give me $20. I like that I'm a part of some strange weird history. I like the story of it.
What
am I going to do? Say no? He found me. I didn't come looking
for
him.
Jealous of your crazy adventures.
He found me in that. We're about out of time, guys, but that's what we got for today, for tonight. Hope you enjoyed it. I thank you so much. If you like this, why don't you go ahead and share it? If you don't like it, well, I'd be surprised if you made it this far. You got anything left? We only have a couple seconds left.
No.
That's it. Bye.